Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. I'm joined today by Andrew Farley. Andrew, glad to have you with us today.
Hey, Bob. Yeah, great to be with you.
Well, thank you for doing this last minute. I'm glad you could be available. We always have so much fun together talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, the grace of God that we share as a result of his death, burial, and resurrection. And we've got some great stuff to talk about today, and it really taps into our theme, and that's theme for the month, and that's sanctification. Here's a powerful passage, I think, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. It says, both the one who makes people holy or sanctifies people and those who are made holy or who have been sanctified are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. So this is a powerful verse, Andrew, and I love some of the things that we can really learn from this simple passage. The first one is, who in the world does the sanctifications or the sanctifying work as far as this passage is concerned?
Yeah. Well, obviously, the one in this passage that's doing the sanctifying is Christ himself. And what I love about that is that the pressure's not on us. I mean, it seems like, Bob, it's almost like a caveat to the gospel for some people. They say, okay, yeah, grace is wonderful, and thank God for the cross, and thank God for the resurrection, but we still need to be sanctifying ourselves. We still need to be setting ourselves apart. We still need to be living holy lives. And when we put that big but in there and then sort of take responsibility for our own growth and take responsibility for our own progress, we're missing the boat. I mean, Colossians talks about the growth that comes from God. Right there in Colossians 2, it's telling us that growth comes from God. There's no fast track. There's no self-improvement. And so we're seeing the same thing here, that, you know, the one who's done the setting apart is Christ himself. And so I can really say the pressure is off. I'm reserved for God. I'm seated at the right hand of God, and there's someone who ushered me into that position. It was not a self-seating. It was God himself who ushered me into the kingdom and seated me at his right hand, and I can trust him with my growth too. And I think that's where a lot of Christians, we can get off base. We say, I'll trust Christ for salvation, but then, you know, my growth, it's really up to me. And we got to remember, Bob, that the scripture tells us, just as you received him, so walk in him.
Yes, indeed. So let me ask you this, Andrew. Can we make ourselves more holy? I mean, after the sanctifying work of Jesus, do we add to that holiness that he has given to us, or did we get it all through faith in Christ?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the fact that we have been sanctified. You look at Paul as he spoke to the Corinthians, and he says that we've been washed, we've been justified, we've been sanctified. This is past tense, and when Paul declares this about us, he's saying that you were set apart, which is all that sanctified means. I mean, sanctified means set apart, reserved for God, and that happened because of the blood and the resurrection. It happened when God decided to set us apart, and it's ludicrous for me to think that I can set myself apart by, you know, wearing certain clothing. I mean, over the history of the Christian church, we've had people who've leaders who have tried to set themselves apart by wearing robes and special clothing, and that's acting like Judaism. I mean, the Levites wore special clothing as God commanded in the Old Testament. But under the New Testament, if you want to be set apart by God, for God, it's not by the clothing you're wearing. It's not by the behavior you're producing. We are set apart by the blood and the resurrection.
Yes, indeed. Well, a couple other questions about this passage. It talks about the fact that one who sanctifies and those who have been sanctified or made holy are of the same family. What does that say about assurance of salvation? If we're of the same family of God, is there a way for us to get out of that family? Will God ever boot us out? Or does the fact that we've been set apart or made holy give us some type of guarantee about this salvation that we have in Jesus?
Oh, great question, because we're finding that, you know, basically what is true of Jesus is now true of us by faith through grace. I mean, you look at this verse 11, it says, "He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father." So suddenly, you know, we are in God's family just as Jesus is in God's family. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, is Jesus up in heaven worried, freaking out, scared to death that he might lose his position, that he might lose his sonship? Well, no, of course not. He's the only begotten from the Father. He's the Son of God. His place is safe and secure for eternity. And then you find, you know, people like the Apostle John, they say, as he is, so also are we. You know, we don't have to have fear. We don't have to freak out about judgment or punishment because we are as safe as Jesus is. And here we're finding a very similar idea that I'm set apart. I'm in God's family. I'm safe and secure and stable. And then he says he's not ashamed to call me brother or sister. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of Christians out there who feel shame, Bob. They feel, well, you know, if I get to heaven, I'll barely squeak by. I'll barely make it through those pearly gates because of all of my performance issues, my inability to produce the Christian life. And what we're seeing here is, wait a minute, you are infatuated with your sins instead of being infatuated with your Savior. He has qualified you. You're feeling shame, and he's already said, I'm not ashamed to call you my own. I'm not ashamed to call you brother or sister. You're in the family. You're good to go. And that's really encouraging.
That's encouraging, and I think it's really powerful. I know there's lots of families out there, you know, with multiple siblings and that sort of thing. And normally in families, I mean, not every single family, maybe even just a small percentage, you know, there's that one sibling, you know, you're ashamed of. It might be, you know, somebody that has just disgraced the family name. But because of the sanctifying work of Jesus, the fact that we have been made holy, we have been qualified to bear his name, to, you know, to live up to what we are in Christ. And so Jesus will never be ashamed of us. You know, he'll always look us right in the eye and say, man, I've made you something in me, and I am so proud to call you one of my brothers and sisters because of the work that I accomplished through my death, burial, and resurrection. So I know there may be people out there that are feeling shame, and we certainly hope this passage will be a great encouragement to you today in your walk with Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Andrew Farley. We're here to field your questions. If you would like to talk about what it means to be sanctified, what it means to actually live, quote, a holy life, we would love to take those questions. If you have anything else on your mind, anything else on your plate, you're worried, you have cares and concerns that you don't know what to do with, please call now, 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742 is the number. And before we get back to some really lively discussion, Andrew, I wanted to make mention to our listeners, we have a wonderful resource this month. It's called Against the Current. It's a CD series. We would love to put it in your hands. It will enable you to really understand how the truth sets you apart and how you can become a standout person in this world today. The fact that Jesus has sanctified you makes you different than what you were before. And we want to put this in your hands. It's available for a gift of $20 or more to Basic Gospel. All the information on how you can request this resource and really learn what it means to walk in truth is available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the donut button. That's you know what's on my mind.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tasty.
Yeah, the donut. Donate button, and all the information will be right there. Andrew, something that you've come across of late, and I think you preached about this several weeks ago, and I know probably because of the multiple times you've heard this question, there's a passage in the book of Matthew where Jesus will say, as folks stand before him, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You know, that really ties into our theme today of sanctification. Will Jesus ever say that to somebody that has been sanctified by faith in him? And if not, who in the world is Jesus talking to in this particular passage?
Yeah, well, first of all, of course not. I think that's the definitive answer on this, because we have to get that straight. And, you know, the idea that God would get sick and tired of us and abandon us and say, "I'm out of here," or even worse, "You're out of here, depart from me." You know, that deserves an investigation, and it really deserves a hard look when we consider the context of what's going on. It starts to really reveal itself. I mean, first of all, in Matthew 7, these people are bragging about all of their performance. I mean, they're saying, "Lord, wasn't I a great prophet? And Lord, you know, wasn't I a great exorcist? And Lord, wasn't I a great miracle worker?" And they're totally consumed with their own works, their own stuff. And that's not the gospel. I mean, when we hit heaven, and if God were to hypothetically say, "Hey, Bob, hey, Andrew, hey, you, why should I let you into my kingdom?" And we start pulling up things we've done for God, let me tell you, that is dangerous talk. That is the wrong answer. The gospel does not hinge on what I do for God. It hinges on what he has done for me. And that's what we need to be boasting in and bragging about. When Paul said, "Let's boast in the cross, let's boast in the work of Jesus Christ." So that should be what's on our lips at that time. But these people, they are so far off base, and they have no clue what the gospel is. And that's why Jesus turns to them and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." This is not the case, a case where a Christian knew the Lord and was known by the Lord and then went 10 days or 10 weeks or 10 years and suddenly messed up too much, and then God decides, "I don't know you any longer." No, this is a person who God never knew. It's an unbeliever who had a works focus. They had totally missed the gospel. And when we take this passage and twist it into something that is scaring Christians, we've really missed the mark. That's not the context. That's not the meaning. We know very clearly from the Son of God himself, he said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And God's not a double talker. God's not a liar. When he says, I'll never leave you, and no one can snatch you out of my hand, he really means it, Bob.
Yeah. And we see the complete opposite of what we read earlier in Hebrews 2, that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And that's true for those of us who are in Christ. So I think we see a really stark contrast between these two things. And So as a believer, no one will ever hear from the Lord, "Depart from me, I never knew you." We're only going to hear from the Lord, "I am not ashamed to call you a brother and sister." And boy, is that ever good news.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with John. Hi, John.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Doing wonderful.
Oh, that's great. We are all sanctified, set apart.
Yes, indeed.
You know, God loves us. I love hearing you guys talk about Jesus and just staying upon the word of Christ. You know, I got a testimony, a good one. You know, I've been saved now for 31 years, and I tell you, when God does something in your life, you know, you got to tell people. He humbles you. He just humbles you at the time when you least expect it. You know, you pray for God, you know, change me, give me a new heart, Lord. I had a foul situation with my family. We didn't talk like 5 years or so, you know. And I said, you know what, I made a phone call one day, one day last week, and I got in touch with one of my relatives, and like my sister, and then we talked, and God humbled me to the point where it doesn't matter but to make the peace. But it just happened when you least expect it. And I can't believe the way God did it. It just brought us all together again. And it's just a happy, beautiful feeling when God does things through you. And you don't even realize until you take a step back and you go, wow, it was all God.
Yeah.
Like when you say, God, use me. And especially with your family, you know, it's hard to reach them and talk, to even show them Jesus when they don't want to be bothered. But after 5 years, I just took this step forward and just made a phone call. And one thing led to another. We're all getting together this week. And it's just so beautiful how God orchestrated the whole thing. And I thought it would never even come together. 5 years went by so fast. And at the right time, God made me make the phone call at the right time, the right day. It was just beautiful. I didn't even think about it. I just did it. I got to thank God because he put everything together like anything else. And God does these things when you least expect it. He's there to help us, you know, if you just hang in there with him. And he's even helped me with my home, with my keeping it and everything, putting it all together. And it's amazing. I can go on and on, but it's God in everything. And I'm so thankful that I am part of the body of Christ, that God called me his own. And he knew me before the foundation of the world, and he forgave me for my sins. You know, a lot of Christians today, they go hard on themselves because they can't let go of the past. But once you let go of that past, you see the way God will just turn it all around. So I gotta say, I thank God for everything, guys. And I hope people hear this and they just kind of hold on to the Lord, you know, because he will turn it around when you least expect. And you guys are great. I just want to tell you.
Well, John, thanks for your call. What a story. I mean, what a testimony. It's awesome to hear that, you know, there could be a situation where pride would get in the way, where bitterness or resentment about the past could get in the way. And what you find is that what's on the Christian's heart is forgiveness and, as you said, being at peace with other people. And that's what God stirred up in your heart. And you said it was spontaneous, that it wasn't something you had to think through a long time, that you know, when something springs forth from the believer's heart, it's just what you want to do. And you reached out and you made that phone call and you let the past be behind you and you fixed your eyes on Jesus. And what happened was God did a beautiful thing, and there was healing and restoration in your family, and now you guys are getting together. And, you know, God is in the business of reconciliation, and this is a testimony to that. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Plus, my mother's up in age. She's going to be 88, and, you know, she likes to see us together. I tell you, when God puts it together, it stays together. It don't fall apart. And that's a fact. And I was in King's College, and I met you guys in October last year.
Yeah, we sure remember that, John. And
I sent you my tape.
I've got that, and I appreciate that. So thank you so much.
You guys are good. Keep on up the good work and talking about the Lord and how wonderful and how great he is and how marvelous he is and how he touched us. It's like while we were sin, God just grabbed us and hold us. I thank you again for all your loving warmth that comes through the radio, your honesty and your pureness and your graciousness from the Lord just flows right through you guys. I got to tell you, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You guys are good. You guys are great.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Well, thanks, John.
Thank you.
God bless, my friend.
You.
Thanks for the testimony. We sure appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
We certainly hope John's testimony is encouraging a lot of our listeners today. You know, there's so often that we run into family situations and there's tense moments and we don't want to really face them and we don't know how to face them. We don't know how to work through them, but the Lord does. And if we will just trust him and allow his patience to work in us, we'll see incredible things happen just as John did. So hope that's an encouragement to our listeners today. Let's go down to Austin, Texas, and talk with Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. I've been a Christian since 1994. I got saved Easter Sunday of 94. And I was a very bad person at the time. And I knew I was going to hell, but I would have never admitted it. I was a very angry person, a harmful person, thief, alcoholic, drug addict. And I've changed. I mean, I changed immediately. I grew a conscience. I quit hurting people. I have sympathy for people now that I used to didn't have. And I've changed a whole lot. I mean, I thank God for what he's done in my life. But I can't kick the alcohol addiction. And it's just stealing all my peace and and just separates me from the Lord. And I know I'm still saved. I just feel ashamed. Y'all talking about shame.
Yeah.
I just feel so ashamed. And
Well, Kelly,
21 years and 22 years, and I just kind of gave up. I just it's so deep rooted in me. My dad owned bars and started me drinking when I was actually like 3-4 years old. He used to give me beer, and it's just so deep rooted in me. It's like when I don't drink, I just feel like I'm going to crawl out of my skin. I'm very uncomfortable in my own skin when I don't drink. And every day I'm going to quit, and every night, you know, I'm just going to drink a little bit, and I'm doing better. I mean, I'm doing better. I'm addict's life. I'm doing better. I'm not drinking all day long. I only drink. I'm self-medicating.
Kelly, let me let me jump in here because we're gonna run out of time, but I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to hang on. And number one, you need to know. We want you to know that you are not separated from God, that this doesn't strike a division between you and the Lord, that the Lord hasn't gone anywhere, that he is still with you and still in you. And that's the first thing, that you can find stability knowing that the presence of the Lord is a constant. It's a steady presence. He'll never withdraw himself from you over this. You didn't get saved because of your good drinking habits, and you can't lose your salvation because of your bad drinking habits. You don't have the presence of the Lord because of your good drinking habits, and you can't lose the presence of the Lord because of your bad drinking habits. So we've got an issue here where you don't want to be a slave to this, and you want to experience victory over this. And so one of the things that I would recommend that we would love to put in your hands is Bob's book. Bob has a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And in this book, it will really help you come to a place of stability. You need to forgive yourself the way God has forgiven you. You don't need to be beating yourself up over this struggle. James says we all stumble in many ways. So it's very normal to stumble and struggle. But there is hope here. And in this book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, we're going to send this to you, and I think it's going to really open up some new answers for you as far as how you deal with temptation, okay?
Okay.
Kelly, let me put you on hold. We'll get your information. We'll send that book to you, and I'll just leave you with this thought. Your righteousness before God is not based upon your drinking. You're putting your righteousness there as your standard. I mean, your drinking is your standard for righteousness. Look at the blood of Jesus. He took away your sins once and for all. You stand before him clean, perfect, and righteous in his sight. You hang on. We'll get you that book. Hang on. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew, thanks for being with us today. We'll look forward to another broadcast, you and me together, tomorrow. We'll look forward to sharing more about what it means to be set apart in Jesus Christ. Now, for Andrew and for all of the ministry team, we say so long from Lewisville, Texas. Check out our website at basicgospel.net. We'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. So long.